Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study on Ephesians chapter 6, we were talking about God not only being the source of our strength, but that He is our strength. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
God is not only the source of strength, my friend, He is the strength. An assistant coach will let his head coach know that he thinks a certain player is better than the guy that is starting and suggests that the coach puts him in. Well, the head coach disagrees. He doesn't think so. And so that guy doesn't get to go in and play. But later, the head coach is gone, and the assistant is made the head coach. Now, he is empowered. That empowerment gives him the strength to make a lineup change, whereas he could only suggest it when he was assistant. Now, the strength is not from his person. The strength to make the change is now from those who empowered him. However, if the owner says, I want to keep this one in the starting lineup, then the coach must heed the owner. Now, in like matter, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and we have His Word to guide us. But we must stay within the framework of His holy will. Why? Because ye are not your own. My friend, our empowerment comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in application, we see a disobedient child does not make a good Christian worker who must take orders from others because he's not learned obedience. A lazy employee does not make for a good missionary, because they've not learned to be strong of character in the Lord, to work as they're supposed to work. Now, look again here at Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Greek word for whole armor is from that which we get an archaic English word, the word panoply. In short, it means put on all the armor. You can leave off part, but then that part is not protected. Now, we must keep it in mind that the enemy is not only powerful, he is cunning. And he will get to the unprotected parts. You see, that's why great Christians fall. Why did a great Christian like King David, who was used of God to write those Psalms, how could a man like that fall? Well, my friend, it's because he left an area unprotected in his life. There was an area that did not have the armor of God covering it. It's kind of like with a child. A child says, well, you don't trust me, Mom. You don't trust me, Dad. Well, it's not whether Mom or Dad trust. They don't trust the situation. They don't trust the devil. It has nothing to do with trusting the child. It has all to do with not trusting the devil. Now, we put on this whole armor of God, we're told to in verse 11. The Christian must conquer or be conquered. You must view life in this manner if you're going to enter eternity as a victor. You must put on the whole armor in order to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word wiles comes from the Greek word methodia, We get our English word method from it. It has the idea of trickery and deviousness. The devil is a clever, devious, and evil person. His plans are well thought out. He's systematic, as the word methodia or method. There's a method to his madness. The word wiles has that idea that there is a method to what the devil is doing. And since you're in a battle, you better prepare according to the charge that is given us, which includes putting on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the devil's systematic methods. Now remember, Christ is our captain. He works through His Holy Spirit in our lives. You can't fight the devil in your own strength. Remember, he has a method. He will set you up. You're no match for him. You better follow the orders of the captain of our faith. Now we see secular methodology has entered the church through the medium of religiousizing psychology. We have simply tried to sanitize carnality. The story is told that a man as a boy snuck to look under a tent expecting to see a circus. Instead, it was revival. Years later, he grew up, was an older man. He went to a tent expecting to go to a revival, and after he was there for a little bit, he realized it was a circus. Using God's name and some scriptures do not justify the flesh, do not justify immodesty, and a host of other dreadful things that are going on in churches as well as in the personal lives of Christians today. Now, my friend, too often we dress up our capitulation to modernism and postmodernism, contemporary religion, and new evangelicalism with fancy terms as tolerance, responsibility, sensitivity, and love. Well, it's time for we who are true Bible believers, sticking to the fundamentals of the faith, to quit being pacifist by our endorsement of the darkness that comes in religious wrappings. We just need to stop that. See, there's a subtle patriotism that sacrifices doctrines of the Holy Spirit, doctrines of separation, and they do it in the guise of political good. And he said, well, you know what? We've got to forget about these doctrines that makes us different so that we can accomplish some political good. We can stop abortion if we'll forget this. We can stop homosexuality if we do this. We can stop that or whatever. Well, my friend, what you're doing is that you're turning to the arm of flesh to try to do the work of God. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 says. Thus saith the Lord, cursed. That's a strong word, isn't it? But notice, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now he said, cursed be the man. Who's making that statement? Well, it's the Lord. God calls it cursed. Yet people will get upset when I call the contemporary movement, with its rock and roll in the church, with its anything goes, with the idea of come as you are and leave as you are idea. When I call that contemporary movement sin, people get upset. However, God has pleased, so it really doesn't matter if people are upset with me about that. You see, we have to, as true Bible-believing Christians, depend on the Word of God, not Wall Street marketing, not the methods of men, even if those are religious men. See, today, we're turning to pragmatism. Pragmatism within the context of Christian ministry entails the implementation of any practice or program into ministry that appears to produce results. regardless of whether or not such practices or programs coincide with biblical principles of ministry. Pragmatism embraces the philosophy that the end justifies the means. By the way, that's what Marxism also uses as their philosophy. So those who espouse a pragmatic philosophy of ministry use methods and programs such as cooperative evangelism or worldly gimmicks, rock and roll, what they call contemporary Christian music. I call it religious rock music. And they use such like in their churches and their ministries because such programs and practices appear to draw larger crowds to church. And they say they win people with these things. But my friend, what you win them with is also what you win them to. Now we need to understand that as Christians, we are to lean on the Spirit of God and His Word, not the arm of flesh. Today, we find that it is not that we disagree with what some groups are saying. I agree that, personally, that homosexuality is sin. I agree with others that are against abortion. The problem is we refuse to say that which identifies their wrongness. And simply, they will not stand, therefore, as our imperative verse tells us to do. And my friend, if we won't stand, we are not going to be well-pleasing unto the Lord. So my friend, we better prepare according to this charge, because the charge is to put on the whole armor of God, stand against the wiles of the devil, that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now that's a charge from God, that if you're saved, you have that charge, just like I have that charge. But we not only prepare according to that charge, we better prepare according to the enemy as well. And we see that here in Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every Christian needs to recognize that we are in a spiritual warfare. We have a deadly foe, the devil. Our foe is not the man who sells liquor or who peddles the dope or even the Muslim or communist. My friend, our foe is the devil. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.